Gary and Karen Alexander have been away for some weeks now in training, are now here for a couple of weeks before they must leave and going, I think you're going out to the West Coast from here. So we have grabbed them for this Sunday, and they're going to share with us some of what God has been doing and how they're going ahead. So let me call you forward, and let me provide this for you.
Good morning. Some of you have heard about Tajikistan for years as you've partnered with me, but for some this may be your first time hearing about this country. My mother-in-law has trouble saying the word Tajikistan, so she just calls it Tajikajiki. But just briefly, Tajikistan is a beautiful mountainous country. For 70 years, it was part of the Soviet Union, and the people are warm and hospitable, and they're also almost exclusively followers of Islam. There we go. Some of you also know about what God has been doing through the Zerbis in me. We left for Tajikistan in 2008 and spent the first year learning Tajik language and culture, as well as exploring how God would use our medical skills there. Over time, it became apparent that there was a huge need for a private ophthalmology clinic. It also became apparent that there was a local group of believing physicians who had a great desire to start a multi-specialty clinic. This especially excited us because one of our values in our company in UWM is to come alongside national believers and to help them do what God is driving them to do for their own people. So by coming alongside Eugene, who's here in this picture, and this Christian doctors group, we were able to be facilitators of the vision that God has given them. And praise God that through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, he has brought about the Soli Med Clinic. Currently, we're employing about 9 full and part-time staff, most of whom are believers or followers of Christ. One of our main aims at the clinic is to be disciplers of these young believers. So through life on life and more formal studying the word together, we've seen them mature in their Christian walk over the last year. The lives of patients are also being impacted. A year ago at this time in the whole country of Tajikistan, there was no treatment for diabetic disease of the eye. People would just gradually go blind, and there was nothing that anyone could do about it. But last fall, our clinic was able to, through the donations of many, was able to purchase a laser from Germany to treat this condition. We know it was God's doing and not ours because there were seemingly insurmountable barriers of us getting this machine. But one by one, God worked through each of these obstacles. Last fall, we were able to start treating patients. And one of the first patients to receive treatment was a young man in his 30s, who's shown here. And because of the treatments, he hopefully will not progress on to becoming blind. When we return to Tajikistan, I'm hoping to still play a part in the clinic, but it'll be a bit of a playing it by ear and also balancing my new roles as wife and as mother. Thank you for all of you who have been a part of this work through your financial support and your prayer. Keep up the good work. We have a short video about the clinic in the back that you can see playing during the coffee hour.
Thanks, hon. Right. Okay. Well, I get to do some fun stuff. It's kind of crazy, but I'm going to ask you all to stand up. All right? Even those in the back, I can see you guys. As I try to get used to this thing. All right. All right, what I want you to do, it's kind of crazy, but I want you to sit somewhere different. Move around, sit somewhere different. Spouses, separate. I'm sorry, it's good enough. Just for a few, probably 30 minutes. Separate somewhere different. Now, if you're new here today, you do not have to do this. If you're physically unable, you're also excused as well, okay? But rest of you, I try to get as everybody can inside here if you can. Is that possible? But if not, that's great. All right, see, let's do it as quick as possible. Somewhere different. Try not to sit with your friends. Try to sit someone somewhere different. All right, everybody have a seat? All right. I bet you weren't expecting this, huh? So what has this got to do with Tajikistan? I don't know. Oh, they found our water bottle. There it is. All right, thank you for being a good sport. Okay. Well, before I joined United World Mission, I was working for a non-government organization called Operation Mercy. Basically, it's a relief and development company that's done a lot for the country of Tajikistan. Actually, during the Civil War, when it first came in, during the Civil War, this huge Civil War they had there, Operation Mercy actually created the first internet service, brought an internet inside to the country. So it was one of the many projects it has done and is still doing today. And a lot of it, and my job was when I came in just about a year, about almost close to 2 years now, what I was doing was I went there as a videographer. My job was to create videos for the projects that they were doing there. They would do projects for health, for agriculture, and for education, like teaching English, that type of thing. And so the idea was to create videos relating to those projects. And one of the projects, two videos we did during the time I was there was relating to children with disabilities. Basically, in Tajikistan, if you were a child that was disabled, you were basically locked inside or kept inside the house because it was considered, you're considered a curse to the family. And so, but good thing, this one village here, they decided to go against the status quo. The village of Safed Shashma, or White Springs, decided to say, no, we are not going to do that. We're going to teach our kids, and we're going to have them have a future because we believe that they are smart, that they can learn. And so that's what they did. The other, they had the kids go down, go to school, to the school themselves, or the teacher themselves will go to their home and teach them. The whole point with the video was to show that, to share that, okay, these kids can work. I mean, they can learn. And this is the video for the teachers, of all the teachers in Tajikistan. And to show, and not hopefully to those of the families too, but to share that, hey, your kids are smart. They can learn. And plus, ultimately, it's also a law as well. It's against the law not to teach your kids who are disabled. So that was a great thing to do. I'm going to talk about that. So what I'm going to be doing next, when we go back, my thing will be, well, for one, it'll be new, going with a new company, but mainly my thing will be going there, hopefully, to help with a project that Operation Mercy has begun. And it's something that we're, basically in Tajikistan, it's considered unwise to work alongside the church. Foreigners really are not really meant to work side by side with the church. So what we do instead, we try to help and support them underground, some ways to help and support the church. And so one of the ways we do that is by creating videos, like dubbing videos such as a Jesus film or other evangelistic type videos. And we dub into Tajik. And the idea right now is to create these things so we give this to the Christian leaders, to believers, local believers, and they could give to their families, they could give it to their neighbors, to their friends, they could just pass it on. And one quick story is that there was a video that was created, actually a Jesus film, that was created in the language called Shukni, which is the language of the people in the Pamiri Mountains, which is like up there amongst the Himalayas up there. Anyways, so this first time this any video has ever been created for in their language. And this group that works up in that area, they were going out walking inside a bazaar, and they noticed that that video was inside there being sold. And they were like, oh, this is great. And then later on, they went out and did a project up in a mountain somewhere and went to the village. And before they left, they handed out this one of the videos as a gift to leave behind. And they looked at it and they said, oh, this? Oh, we already have this. Yeah, it's all over the village. It's all over all the villages right now. They have it right now. So it's just great to see a tool being used, such like this, that where people are being able to hear the gospel. And it's just a great way that media could be used in this way. And so my desire right now, unfortunately, the making the dubbing, the creating the DVDs, and having a stock to be able to be used, is right now is at a standstill. And so my desire is to be able to go back there and actually be the technician and as well as the manager to continue this this whole ministry. But besides all that, mainly my hope, my main priority will be language learning. That would be my biggest thing I'll be doing there. And, you know, my dream would be to see a company of Tajik believers. That's my dream. My dream is to see Tajik believers that would be trained to create mini videos, like little mini videos that talks about, like, that created, like, little short little videos about, like Bible stories, like the prodigal son or other Bible stories. And that's my dream, to see them create that. Because, so ultimately, that... Sorry, getting myself all messed up here. My notes here. Okay, so yeah. So anyway, so if I can't understand or if I can't speak the language, then it's going to be really difficult for me to be able to use like video or media as a way to be able to help the church, to be able to nourish them, create them, to be able to plant, to be able to reproduce churches. And basically, so... ultimately, the whole point of us, Karen and I, being there and others that are there is just to glorify God. And we want the church to be able to grow, and we want them to be surprised, the world to be surprised about what's going on in Tajikistan. And that's what we want to see, ultimately. You know, it's not really about us. It's not about, well, what we're doing, you know, that kind of stuff. It's ultimately saying, you know what, God? Use us. I don't know what you want me to do. But, you know, he shows us little at a time. And our job is just to take one step at a time, and we just go, and we follow. And so, yeah.
So this is really messing me up too, because when I'm up here normally, I know where to look for people. I know that I can look for Barbara Bonebreak's eye over here, and I can look for the Sastics, and now it's all mixed up. And I had also found Chris Deemer before. Oh, there he, okay, yeah. I found you because you're a great person to look at. You always are very encouraging, and then I lost you. Okay, I guess I'm oriented again. So, some of you know that I was last back here. I was back in Oneonta in 2010 in the fall. I was homesick, and then I did my home assignment. And when I said goodbye to you, I thought it would be for 3 more years, but God had different plans. A year ago, God brought Gary into my life. One of the fun things that we have about being overseas is the stories that we'll be able to tell our child. It's not every couple who can say that their first conversation took place at a buzkashi game. This is a Central Asian game that's similar to polo, only it's played with a decapitated goat's body as the ball. Here's a little clip here. So I'm not sure how all of you met your spouses, but I can guess it probably wasn't at buzkashi. But it wasn't the exotic sport that drew me to Gary. It was his godly character. We decided very soon into our relationship that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. So we came back to the States last winter to be married, and God quickly has blessed us with a child who we're expecting in October. And we actually found out the gender this past weekend, and We didn't plan this, but if you want a hint, you could look at the color of clothing that we're wearing this morning. So we're now in the process of raising additional support so that we can return to Tajikistan after the baby is born. And if you're interested in seeing how you could be a part of our financial support team, just talk with us sometime. We'd love to talk with you.
Thanks. Okay. Right. So this is our story. What is your story? Some of you may be wondering why I had you move today. You know, wasn't it just because I just wanted to see if you actually would do it? You know, I wonder if I want to do that. You know? But really, I wanted, you know, for a lot of you, every Sunday, you come and you sit at your same seat. That's your one seat you're going to sit at. I mean, imagine if we actually did the same thing, like in a baseball game or something, have season tickets. Man, this church would be like loaded or something, you know. You know, charge for your seat or something. But really, those seats, when we come there, we go there because that's our little bubble. That's our little area that we're comfortable at. You know, that's where, you know, probably it's, you know, conform to her. Yeah, anyways. We're basically comfortable. It's our little comfort zone. And like life, we also walk around in our own little bubble sometimes in that it has all of our comforts. Our mantra is, as long as no one bothers me, I won't bother them. Yet how many of us have even said hi to our neighbor or that boy or girl that we see that sits alone outside every afternoon? How many have answered the needs of this church? Like maybe helping with the youth group or helping making meals for the college group. Or perhaps going outside of your comfort zone is all a part of being a believer. There's three questions I want to ask you today. First, what skills, hobbies, or interests has God given you that could be used for his glory? I want you to think about that a second. Man, I see of you guys right now, I bet you a lot of you have specific things you're just so great at. Maybe you like to do carpentry. Or maybe like you ride motorcycles. I've heard a story like that. A lot of guys like to ride motorcycles here. It's really big. Some of you may like to draw or act or play instruments. Maybe you love to sew or knit. Maybe you love to talk. Maybe you like to cook. Perhaps you like playing with children or teach children, teach teenagers, teach adults, pray, read, talk, listen. I'm sure the list could go on and on. But you know what? God made you for a certain purpose. You know, realize that we are all one of billions of pieces that only God himself knows the big picture. However, you know, to him, each piece is precious and is created for a certain purpose.
For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
He has created you with gifts and interests that you may be used amongst the nations so that he may receive glory. How many of you have read this book? I'm sure a lot of you know this book, Radical kind of thing. I know we did a study here. It was great being a part of that class, by the way. That was real fun. But I like how Platt, the author here, how he puts it in regards to our gifts and our skills.
Now we know that each of us has different gifts, different skills, different passions, and different callings from God. God has gifted you and me in different ways. However, each follower of Christ in the New Testament, regardless of his or her calling, was intended to take up the mantle of proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the reason why he gave each of them his spirit, and why he gave them all the same plan, make disciples of all nations.
All right, let's go to the second question. How are you being used by God to fulfill His great commission? Let's remind ourselves what the Great Commission says.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Let me ask you, is what Jesus is saying a calling or a command? Many believe it's a calling. Some say that, you know what, I'm not called to work with the youth. I have no idea what God's calling me to do. But I want you to listen to what Platt says about that.
It is not uncommon to hear Christians say, "Well, not everyone is called to foreign missions." Or more specifically, "I am not called to foreign missions." When we say this, we're usually referring to foreign missions as an optional program in the church for a faithful few who apparently are called to that. But where in the Bible is mission ever identified as an optional program in the church? Indeed, Jesus himself has not merely called us to go to all nations. He has created us and commanded us to go to all nations. We have taken this command, though, and reduced it to a calling, something that only a few people receive.
You know, there's a T-shirt that I saw when I was working down in Mexico one year, and it said, "What part of go do you not understand?" I love that T-shirt. I'm still trying to find it. I don't know why, but it's a great T-shirt. It's very true. You know, if you're a believer here today, and you say that Jesus is your Lord and Master, then since when is it okay not to obey a master's command? Understand that the command is the call, and it is for all his followers. You, my friends, are missionaries. Did you guys know that? It's not just us to go, people who go overseas. It's all of you. All those who proclaim to say, "You know what? I am a follower of Jesus." You are a missionary. And you know what? It will not be easy. You might be thinking, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. No, you're right. You may not be. I know I'm not. But you can do the things that God has gifted you with. Remember that puzzle I was telling you about? He has given you all a gift to fit into his perfect plan. It might be small. It might be big. But, you know, ultimately, it doesn't matter because it's all about what... It just is all about who God is, what God is doing through you. That's all that matters. And all God wants from us to say is, "Here I am, Lord, use me," and trust and obey. Here's the last question. What fears keep you from fulfilling his great commission? I mentioned earlier that what Jesus is commanding is not easy. There is an enemy out there who is not going to go down without a fight. And he owns a lot of territory. You look through the map, you can see. He owns a lot of territory. You see what's going on in the world. And he is willing to kill to hold on to it. The front lines are everywhere around you, wherever you live. It's not only in China or in Muslim countries or jungles somewhere. It's here in the United States. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your family. Just your family alone. I mean, how many times have you told your children that you love them and share the gospel with them?
"Go your way, behold, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves."
Oops, sorry.
"Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpent and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against their parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated for all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will be not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. For everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven.
I understand that taking the first step is the hardest, but also understand that it is God who gives us the strength to be able to face all these fears that we will face. A.W. Tozer said it plainly. He said, "Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them." Is that you? Is that me? Someone who comes to church and sings how you love Jesus and how we just want to praise him, but what we sing doesn't reflect how we live? I know I find myself in this category many, many times. The Great Commission is worship. We worship the one who gave his life for us, as we remember today, by obeying his commands. Understand, I speak not only to you, but also to myself. For what Karen and I do overseas, 1,000 miles away in Central Asia, I find myself not doing very well here in the U.S. I find it really easy for me to make a lot of excuses for not to talk to people and share with them who God is. And why do I have it? What is it? Because I'm scared. I'm scared that people won't like me. I'm terrified that they'll hate me. They will do something to me. And I want you to listen to this short clip and ask yourself, would I be willing to do what these students are doing? Would I be willing to give up my life?
First time I had the opportunity to be in Indonesia was a couple of years ago. And I was teaching at an Indonesian seminary. Indonesia is the largest Muslim-dominated nation in the world. And in this particular seminary, in order to graduate from this seminary, every student has to plant a church in a Muslim community with at least 30 new baptized believers. It's master's degree as well as undergraduate degree. How many college students would go to a place where the requirement to graduate is to plant a church in a Muslim community with at least 30 new baptized believers? I spoke at their graduation, a whole host of students sitting in front of me that had all done that, every single one of them, and planted a church in a Muslim community with at least 30 new baptized believers. Two of their classmates that year had died in the process.
Would you be willing to do that? I don't know if I would, actually.
And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it."
So how much of our lives do we give to the Lord? Do we want to just have a name tag that says, "Hello, I'm a Christian," and take it off when it seems convenient? Or do we want to have our lives resonate Jesus, where people are taken back by his fresh, breathtaking aroma of his character? Are we okay with staying in our little bubble where we think it is safe? Or do we want to put our whole mind, our body, and our soul into the battle that is waging? not caring what happened to us, for we keep Philippians 1:21 in our minds, in our hearts, for to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us sharpen each other as we keep each other accountable to the reason why we were created in the first place. We were created so we may honor and worship not only our Savior, but our Lord and Master with our whole being by preaching and making disciples all over the world, overseas or here in Oneonta. So here are the three questions again. What skills, number one, what skills, hobbies, or interests has God given you that could be used for His glory? Number two, how are you being used by God to fulfill His great commission? And lastly, number three, what fears keep you from fulfilling His great commission? I'll leave you with this last quote that's by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. Not called, did he say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear Him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear that damned entreat you to go to their Father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell Him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish His mercy to the world. Let's pray.